I want to welcome you this evening. We're glad that you're here to celebrate Christ's incarnation and Advent. And we are thankful together with the great grace of our God, who has not left us to ourselves, but who has drawn near. And in this Advent season, as we have kind of taken a panoramic view of different authors in the New Testament and how they view Christmas, it's been our goal to see the rich variety of themes that Christmas brings. From John, who tells us of the eternal God who made himself small and dwelt among us that we might see God coming near. To Luke, who has a message going to the nations of peace and pleasure because of God's presence with us. This morning, in the book of Matthew, the picture that Christmas is a proclamation that Jesus wins. And tonight, we want to see from the Apostle Paul in Galatians this picture of one who redeems and adopts, that Christmas has direction from beginning to end. Let's read God's Word together. This is from Galatians 4, verses 4 through 7. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, you are great, and we are thankful. No one could have built this plan but you, and we are thankful for the coming of the Son as a slave, so that those of us who are enslaved to sin might be called sons and daughters of the Most High. Would you draw us near by your word? Teach us now, we pray. Set our hearts apart to hear and your Spirit to enliven, that we may see and receive. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When we think of Christmas, it's probably rare that we would think of enslavement. But that's exactly what Paul has in mind in our text, is that Christmas is the undoing of the bondage of the soul. It is the undoing of the bondage of the soul that separates us from God. God comes to do for us what we can't do for ourselves. And Christmas, the arrival of Jesus, is great hope, peace, and joy to the church. Great hope and peace and joy to the people of God. Because it is a proclamation of redemption and adoption. Great hope for us this evening. Because Jesus doesn't wait for us, He has come to us, and He is opening Himself to us that we might be drawn near. Slavery. It's one of those things that we might think as an archaic term, something that happened. But if you want to understand Christianity, you must go to the slave market. You must see the desperate straits of those who have been in bondage and in the loss of freedom. And Jesus comes, and He turns in slavery on its head. It was Dietrich Bonhoeffer who sat in a jail near Christmas in Nazi Germany just before he was executed, who wrote these words. He said, a prison cell in which one waits and hopes and does various unessential things is completely dependent on the fact that the door to freedom has to be opened from the outside. It's not a bad picture of Advent. Advent, the coming of Jesus, is opening the prison door that we might know, see, and receive the wonder of relationship with Christ Jesus. Enslavement has us at times too, doesn't it? There's that physical enslavement. You can go just down the road and find those who are enslaved in trafficking, or you can go around the world and see those who are enslaved in jobs that are of minimal wage to where they have no freedom. But if we come nearer to ourselves, there's enslavement within, isn't there? Often enslavement of the soul. We're enslaved to our passions and our appetites. We want to be our own God, and so we push God away, and there's an enslaving force within called the flesh that seeks to walk away from God. There's enslavement to appetites. There's enslavement to various things that keep us separated from one another relationally. There are relationships that are torn asunder by unforgiveness and brokenness and fits of anger towards each other. Enslavement, it's physical. It can be relational. But it certainly is spiritual. And what Paul wants us to see this evening is that the enslavement of the soul and Christ's freedom for the soul is the great gift of the Incarnation. It is the great gift of a birth that will bring salvation and security to God's people. It's that salvation and security that Paul wants the people at Galatia to have and wants us here tonight in this sanctuary. He wants us to have that sense of presence and power in the working of Jesus who redeems and adopts a people to himself. Christmas really is a riches to rags story. It's a family tale of one brother who gives himself for others that they may know freedom in its fullness. And Paul delights in that. Paul has been talking in the book of Galatians to a people who have known something of the truth of Jesus and the beauty of Jesus, and they've had great freedom in Christ, but they tend to want to turn back to self-effort, and they want to turn back to slavery. And he is charging their hearts to live fully in the freedom that Jesus and Jesus alone gives. It's as if they've gotten a PhD and they're returning to kindergarten. He is afraid that they will seek and miss the gifts of the family to return to slavery. And so he charges them to live in the gift they have, sonship in Christ Jesus. And to do so, he shows them why Jesus has come, so that slavish fears will be vanquished. You know, Christmas is all about slavish fears being vanquished from the soul so that we may rest in the gifts of our Savior. In the fullness of time, God sent for the fullness of treasure for His people. In the fullness of time, God sent forth the fullness of treasure for His people. Notice in our text this evening, the fullness of time. We don't live in slavish fears because God has gifted us with redemption and adoption. This direction reminds us the Son became a slave so that those who were enslaved to sin might become children, sons of God. And you see that here in the fullness of time, God sending forth His Son in verses 4 and 5. In verse 4, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. Historical. To prove to us the validity and beauty of the work of Jesus, Paul goes historical. He begins with the timing. It was the fullness of time. There was no accident in Jesus coming or in the timing of Jesus coming. His timing was spot on. God had ordained from eternity past into eternity future that which would happen. Jesus would come for His people. The Son for the slaves, to make them sons. The timing of our God. In the fullness of time, Jesus showed up. In the fullness of time, we're told here in the text, in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son. There is the hint of eternality. Jesus wasn't made. He didn't come into existence at that moment. In the true sense of the world, He had always been. And here eternity steps into humanity and He takes on birth. He takes on human flesh, born of a woman. And so you get timing and origin and birth. And this picture becomes to grasp us that eternal God made Himself small in a child so that He might come under the law, the curse that is due us, to redeem us from the curse of the law. The purpose was redemption, so that we might have the gift, adoption. All of that there in verse 5. The whole picture of Jesus' life and ministry in humanity. God coming to man as man to free, to redeem, and to adopt. You know, it's possible. It's possible to free somebody. It's possible to buy someone out of their bondage and not to draw them near. But God goes all the way with us. Not only does He redeem, but He adopts. Why is it that Christians love the celebration of Christmas? Is it the gifts? Well, it ought to be the gift. You know, this weekend, I have wrapped untold number of gifts. I lost count. Why would you spend hours and hours at night after the kids have gone to bed to wrap presents? It's because of the joy when it's unwrapped. And Jesus unwraps the present of Christmas. And He tells us this evening that it is historical and personal. All that was done 2,000 years ago was so that we might know that we are the children of God. Redemption and adoption, historically anchored, are drawing us to the fact that personally, God draws near to you. Notice there in the text, not only the history of Christmas, but notice the purpose is personal. Notice there in verse 5, that we might receive adoption as sons. And verse 6, and because you are sons, God has sent His Spirit. Notice there's the fullness of time. God had a plan to bring a people into the family by buying them out of slavery and making them His children. And that picture there of redemption is at the heart of Christmas. But it's that brings us home. And so the fullness of time, God sends His Son. But also Christmas reminds us that in the fullness of time, God gives us the fullness of treasure. And the fullness of treasure is the gift of the Spirit. Notice again in there in verse 6. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Sending His Spirit. God has sent His Son to make us sons of daughters, and He has sent His Spirit to confirm the reality that we are sons and daughters of the Most High. The fullness of this treasure reminds us that our adoption is secure, and that our adoption means access, presence. The adoption papers, so to speak, here in verse 5. And because you are sons, because you have received adoption as sons, God sent forth His Spirit. The Spirit confirms the declaration of God over His people. And that means presence. Notice there in verse 6. The Spirit has come of the Son into our hearts that is crying, Abba, Father. And so you are no longer slaves, but sons. And if a son, then an heir through God. Now, when you hear that word son, you need to see that God has drawn near, that God has made provision, that God has given an inheritance. You need not think so much gender there as privilege, because the idea of the son coming and giving is that the inheritance in the ancient Near East belonged to the eldest son. That was the protection for the whole family, that there would be a collective gift to the son, and that provision would go forth. And here we see that the eldest son, he shares, by presence of the Spirit, life in the family. God wants you and me to know the power of His presence and the joy of relationship. One of the beauties of Christmas is that people come from an hour away or a few hours away. Or some of you, I see you've come from half a continent away. And maybe there are those who've come further from half a world away. But the picture here is that what draws us together is that relationship, that familial feel of life together. We belong. And the heart of Christmas is belonging with security. You see, Christmas is family time. Christmas is a relationship where we are drawn in to the family. and treated and confirmed like those who are known and loved by God. Drawn out of dark places into life and light in the love of Christ. A few years ago, there were 39 Chilean miners who got trapped deep in a dark pit. They'd been mining 2,000 feet below the ground. 2,000 feet. Why would anybody go 2,000 feet underground? But they were digging, and they were mining, and there was a collapse. At the moment, these Chilean miners began to panic and realize they had little resources, probably little oxygen, and little hope of being saved from the outside. They looked to the one Christian who they knew was a Christian in the group, a guy named Jose, and they said to him, "Jose, would you pray for us?" And Jose got down on his knees and got a group of guys and got them all down on their knees. He began to pray for them. He said, "God, we're not good men. God, we're not fit men. God, we've got lots of needs. Joe over here," I don't remember the exact name, so I'm going to make them up as I go. "Joe over here is not a very good father. He hasn't taken good care of the family. Jim over here, he has struggled with alcohol, and he really desperately struggles with the drink." And on he went through the guys he knew, confessing their sins, and no one objected because they knew they had a need. In the deep, dark pits, they knew they had a need. And then hope came. That's what Christmas is for us. Those Chilean miners were freed by help from above. And the beauty of Christmas is that in the deep darkness of our pit, we are freed by help from above. And the Father will not give up. The Father will not cease. The Father will not fail, but to draw people in. Redeemed from sin. Because the Son, the eternal Son, the second person of the Trinity, becomes a slave under the penalty of sin so that we might know freedom. See, the affirmation of Christmas is the affirmation of the need of redemption. But it's also the affirmation of family, of hope, of being drawn near. And so tonight, when we come to the table, tonight, when we celebrate with one another, tonight, as we sing carols and remind our hearts of the gifts of God, there is a Christmas affirmation. We belong. God has come. And God has come to us. And there is not only an affirmation, but there is an assurance. We belong to God now and forever. By faith in Christ. You see, what Christmas does is Christmas draws us into the family of God. By faith, we rest not in our work, but in the work of Christ. Christmas draws us in for family time, that we would rest on Him and Him alone, to free us and to provide for us family. You know what Christmas is? Christmas is freedom, and Christmas is family, and we are the family of God in celebration of the work of the Savior. Why did Jesus come? He came for you. He came that you might belong, and that you might know in belonging now and forever the love of Christ. He became a slave that we might become children of God. By faith and hope in Christ. Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, how thankful we are that Jesus came in the fullness of time, with the fullness of treasure, in the gifts of the Spirit, to redeem and adopt a people. And so, Father, would you comfort our hearts and confirm in our hearts the need and yet the supply that is Jesus Himself. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.